Earners, what's up? Look, in the world of personal finance management, finding the right tool is crucial. If you've been relying on Mint to keep your personal finances in check, I got a mix of news for you. Mint is closing down. But here's a silver lining. Monarch Money is stepping up as the go-to financial app, and users, including myself, are making the switch with a smile. Before Monarch, juggling my finances felt like navigating a stormy sea. Other apps either lacked features or were too cumbersome. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design turned financial management from a chore into a breeze. The constant updates, well, that's the cherry on top. But what truly set it apart for me was its collaboration feature. Money matters can strain relationships, but Monarch brings peace to the table. The app's collaboration tools allow my partner and I to seamlessly manage our finances together. We aligned on our budgets, tracked our cash flow, and even planned our future goals all in one place. Speaking of goals, be it saving for a down payment, your dream vacation, or your children's education, Monarch simplifies it all. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal hailed it as the best budgeting app. This isn't just an app. It's the next generation of personal finance management, ad-free, intuitive, and always evolving with you in mind. Now look, Monarch isn't just another app. It's the all-in-one solution, from effortlessly importing your data from Mint to customizing your dashboard to your heart's content. Monarch respects your privacy with a strict no ads, no data selling policy. This is financial management as it should be, focused on you. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Mondays. That's monarchmoney.com/Mondays for your extended 30-day free trial.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Bob Iger of Disney tells employees that they must work in the office 4 days a week beginning in March. What do you think of it? And do we think the rest of America will follow suit? 4 days a week in the office. And Bob Iger, put it in context, Bob Iger, one of the greatest, he's known as one of the greatest CEOs of all time. He led Disney during its glory days. And then he retired. And then another Bob took his spot. And
short-lived,
and it was hard times for Disney. The stock spiraled down, and they had a lot of bad things that happened under that situation. So then Bob Iger came back out of retirement, similar to Michael Jordan, came back out of retirement, and now he's trying to change the work culture. So he's implementing the 4-day mandatory in office work schedule. And the reason why that's important is because obviously during COVID, a lot of people were working remote, and a lot of people said that, you know, the days of office is over. He's old school. He believes in, you know, being in a physical location. So how do we feel about this?
I think you just nailed, like what you just said, he's older is the key to this. I think it's a generational thing. And so the people who make those decisions are not of a certain age group. And so they're used to coming in 5 days a week. If you look at most of the people who are looking for jobs, 95%, this is like, I'm not making this up, like Career Karma and all these, you can look at the statistics. 95% of people who are looking for jobs want to have a modified schedule where they don't have to go into work 5 days a week. Another statistic is that people are 95% more productive when they do remote work.
Absolutely. Now,
right? So is it a work issue or is it a company issue, right? Because if they're being productive at home, why wouldn't you have people being remote, right? You would have more productivity for your company. I think the generational piece is what plays into it, right? We come from a space where we're familiar with technology. It's nothing for us to get on a Zoom call or some of these other companies. We're pretty familiar with that. You put that into somebody who's been in a space for 25 to 30 years, it might not be as commonplace. It might be a little bit more difficult. It might be more stringent on them, right? It's a tougher sell, right? So you have older people in these spaces making the decisions, and they're saying, all right, well, let's go back to the things, way things are. Right now, I think they said 90% of companies are on hybrid schedules where they do maybe 3 to 4 days a week.
They said Troy made that stat up.
All right. I'll put it up. I can put
Google it.
You know what I do with the research. So, right? So you figure if 70% of the 90% of the companies right now are doing hybrid, why change that? There's like I know like there's one. Netflix for sure was like everybody has to come back to work. But if you look at the majority of companies up until 2023, which we just started, most of them have done hybrid. A lot are saying that we're going to go back to at least 4 or 5, but we'll see. I think it really has, it's what you said. An older population is making decisions on what the workspace looks like.
So do you agree with it or don't agree with it?
I agree in the sense, well, the first part was, what do I think of it? And then what do we think? What is it going to be? America going to follow suit? I think they'll follow suit in the sense of hybrid, where it's 3 to 4 days. Because he didn't say every day, right? It's still, he's still saying four days a week. I
mean, 4 days, you damn near, 4 days is a whole Friday, casual Friday. Just
but people,
like,
well, Friday, you don't have to come in.
But if you're going to make somebody go to work 4 days a week in a physical office, that's,
they'll take it. People will take that. I know for sure. True. People are like, yo, if I don't have to go on Fridays, I'm taking that.
But what about people that move to a whole different state? There's a lot of people that did that.
Yeah, but what was that?
You got to move back now.
Oh, you're saying they moved and they stay with the company?
Yeah, like if you're working remote, you might live in Miami and your job is in Connecticut, but you're working remote. So
you're going to have to find a job.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're working remote, most times there's a separate location, right? There's a location of that business where you move a lot of the times, right? You're not just moving to Wyoming and there's no business there that's associated with your company, right? So you might move to a state where there's a branch there and you're just working remote.
Ian, what's your thoughts on this?
I think everyone can write this down. This is going to be an important economic indicator on the fundamental side. So remember when I used to tell everyone, like, hey, once we get past a certain number of CEOs to step down, it is a sign of a recession. Companies that force 3 to 4 day mandates amongst their employee base is usually a sign of a non-exceptional company. So if we look at their employee base of Disney, they have 220,000 employees, 793,000 shareholders. Price to revenue ratio is 2.07. Price to book is 1.8. Net margin is 0.03%. Gross margin is 0.28. Not amazing. Pre-tax margin is 6%. I want to do an exercise that if Disney offloaded all of their physical locations and solely went to the tech side, how much better and how much more efficient that company would be. And I know the probability of doing that is damn near zero.
Mm.
But we are at a crossroads. So the thing that I love to do is study economic periods over 100-year period. And I was telling Chad this the other day, we have to treat this period of 2023, like it's 1920 and 1923. The big debt model that we've had, and he won't be the only CEO that comes back. I'm hearing some rumblings that Bezos may have to come back to Amazon and right that ship for a little bit. But what is the innovative model that they have that will sustain them for the next 10 or 15 years? Because the amazing assets that they have are being drugged down by the commercial properties and slower sales cycle there. And when the world shifts like how we did during COVID, and if you look at it, technically, if we don't recover to next year, we've really been in an economic decline since 2019 through 2024. Half a decade. Can Disney continue to have all these locations globally and be a preeminent leader in their space? I would argue that not now. Right, CEO. And I think it's the right move to make if you have older leadership and it's a company with no true advantage. I would argue right now, Disney has no advantage over
what space?
And what space, whatever space you want, whether it's tech, Apple's better, or if you want to say real estate, McDonald's will fucking wash them any day of the week. And don't let
streaming
Chick-fil-A go public.
Streaming? And
yes.
Streaming? Are they the number one streaming? They're the biggest streaming?
Well, they have the most subscribers. And if you look at their new commercial, which is interesting, I don't know if people even watch it, they're trying to figure out how to get rid of ESPN. because it has been a debt hole for them.
It's a dumpster fire.
But the new the new ads, and you would think like they have live sports. The new
it may be good when Skip go back over there with Stephen A. Piss Shannon off one more time.
We're gonna deal with Skip on another time. If you look at the new ads, the bundle is now Disney Plus and Hulu. They took the ESPN part out of it for like $9.99, which is interesting. Which furthermore tells me that they're trying to get from under the ESPN banner.
Let's talk about Disney stock. At one point, you were a Disney stock enthusiast.
I'm still a Disney stockholder.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying, are you enthusiastic about the stock?
Yeah.
You are enthusiastic about the stock?
Well, because I'm doing it for long term. So like when I did it.
So why are you enthusiastic for long term?
It's the same. It was the same reasons then when we were in the pandemic, when I was talking about the parks and I was talking about opening.
But I'm saying
I'm talking about the expansion with the parks. I was talking about streaming. I was talking about from a production standpoint, even if you look from the Hollywood Reporter, right, their movies did $4 billion last year, which is by far, I mean, it blew out every studio. They're on pace. They have potential to do that every year just from a production standpoint from the films. But the expansion of streaming, like I said, I think is the biggest play here. The Hulu piece, they haven't really gotten Comcast over ownership just yet. But the Fox Searchlight part of it adds more catalog of content to their bureau. Obviously, we know from a licensing standpoint with all their characters, they're in a position where they can have money just generate and generate and generate. Now, like what we saw during COVID, the cruise ships took a hit, the parks took a hit. Mm-hmm. Will that happen in 2025? Probably not. There probably won't be a world pandemic. Lord willing, there won't be. But they have the same thing that YouTube has, and which is why I love them. Their population always gets younger. And if your population can always get younger, you're always going to be in business. Kids will always have an affinity.
Even in this era, because if they don't acquire Mr. Beast, which Mr. Beast may slowly be one of the people we need to watch out for in terms of taking something public in the next 2 years. But if they're not acquiring a bunch of those YouTube kids, will they really give a damn about Beauty and the Beast? And
well, so that's the thing, right? That's why you have to create newer content, right? Because Beauty and the Beast doesn't mean, like, you can see it when, if you look at the views for like when they do these live productions of Beauty and the Beast or any of those like classical Disney stories. Mm-hmm. Like, and shout out to her, I thought it was great, and the Little Mermaid was great too, but people, they're not really checking for it because those stories don't resonate with a younger population, so they have to create. So having that Pixar bag is vitally important, right? Because now you can create new characters. Like I told my son, I'm said, look, you know, Buzz Lightyear didn't exist when I was a kid. Like he came out when I was a teenager, right? Like that didn't exist. These characters are like, they're out of somebody's mind, right? Like Monsters Inc. didn't exist, but those characters exist in our kids' world, right? And so like, as long as they have the creativity and they have the production studios to create and be innovative, they're gonna be great. And then Avatar too. Like if we're seeing what that's doing right now from just a box office smash and what they can do with that franchise and add it to the parks as well. There's just so many things I think they can do from a creative standpoint with content.
For my technicians, if you draw your Fibonacci retracements, put your 100% level at top and zero at the bottom. Disney was at $1.23 back in 1985. The high was $203.02. That was last year. The 38.2 level, which is $74.69. If it breaks underneath that, it's going to have a little bit of trouble. It really depends. The ability to survive during this recession, and once again, whatever's in between recession and depression, like that's what this category of the last 4 years would be called when it's all said and done, is going to depend on if they can weather the storm. I do think they have some great assets, but at the end of the day, the splits on your net margin matters more than anything. The operating margin is too low. And if let's say we stay here for a decade, they're going to have a tougher time. But if they break underneath 76, I'm going to be a little bit worried overall. I still think it's a great company. I don't think it's going to die in the next 5 years. But I think we are going to start to see some of these generational companies slowly decay. They'll be around, but they won't have the impact that they did. I'm really interested seeing what his plan is, especially over the first 90 days when he comes back. And that will be the telltale sign on what they'll be able to do. But they have to cut costs. like crazy, and they have to get these margins to be a hell of a lot better.
Yeah. And I think his succession plan is important, right? Because like he's coming back on an interim basis. And so the one of the caveats of him coming back was to train the next person. He's only going to be doing this for 2 years. He came back out of retirement to right the ship again, but also train the next person. So that's important too. We just saw, like, obviously when you brought up the WWE, what having leadership come back can look like and what it can do for a stock. So that's important too.
Hot take, if Disney falls to $59, they really should consider selling to Apple.
Some of these, I was going to say, what if they get acquired?
Yeah, some of these companies are going to have to consolidate.
Yeah.
Not happening.
Yeah, because of restrictions from the government. But what besides that, why do you think it wouldn't happen?
I mean,
there's already a pre-existing relationship there.
Every year, Disney puts out a letter saying that they're not going to sell to Apple.
Yeah, Disney. I think Disney is one of these companies. It's American culture. When you think about Disney, it's a staple in the world.
So is the Klan. They were not as popular as they used to be either.
The Klan, the Wu-Tang Klan?
X-Klan? Which Klan are you talking about?
Wu-Tang Klan is...
Y'all clean up good, boy.
That's the only Klan we know.
Wu-Tang,
the RZA, the GZA, Old Dirty Bass, and Inspector Deck.
Ray when Marcus. I get a Webby, yeah. I'm handing it right over
you
to
you. God, Ghostface Killah and the Method Man.
Can you name all 9 members of the Wu-Tang Klan?
I did it.
I can't. Only one I really like was Meth and Ghost.
You didn't like Raekwon?
What?
He was solid.
What? What?
He was solid.
Oh, man.
He just didn't do it for me. I don't want no smoke either, Ray. Ray will pull up on you at a show.
Good dude, man. Good dude.
It's just not what I listen to.
Shout out to
Ghostface. Don't get enough credit for giving up that blueprint for Just Blaze and Kanye, too, and Bink.
What blueprint are you referring to?
That sample, heavy bass, sped up sample.
Ghostface or RZA?
Ghostface was like doing that early on. You don't think Blueprint sounded like Ghostface remix a little bit?
I've never heard it.
Which album?
I had to listen.
Iron Man? What you talking about? Fish Scale? Which one?
Let me see. Let me go back. Hit the like button. Let's get this bad boy up to 6,000 people.
Remember when they did Investing Takes and Not Rap? We didn't come here to hear that. You guys aren't beat up. Gosh.
One thing that is very true. You have to skew young. You have to skew young.
Shout out to my boy Juss.
Yep. Shout out to Juss. No business can survive if they don't skew young. No musician skewing young is the key. That's hip hop music. If you think about it, right. Hip-hop music has been able to skew young. This is why jazz is almost irrelevant at this point, unfortunately, because jazz wasn't able to skew young. The blues wasn't able to skew young. Even rock and roll, after a certain point, it lost its ability to skew young. There's only going to be so many people that's going to watch The Grateful Dead when they're 90 years old.
They try.
But hip-hop music has been able to skew young. Not always the most productive thing.
No.
But that's a different conversation. But you have to, if you're an entrepreneur or if you're a personality or if you're an artist, you have to find ways to skew young. Very important.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.